In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So today's second lesson is the very famous parable of the prodigal son. And it is such a familiar parable, one of the most familiar, probably, like that of the Good Samaritan and a few others. And that kind of familiarity, I think, can breed, if not contempt, at least something like, its meaning can feel exhausted to us, I think, because it is so familiar. But it has been, in fact, so familiar, and it's been so popular for two millennia for a reason. And it really speaks, I believe, to the human experience, if we're honest with ourselves. That's something I say often, and it is a key sort of spiritual discipline, to be honest with yourself. And if you're honest with yourself, I think that this parable really speaks to the human condition. It's fundamentally a parable about repentance. And another word for repentance is conversion. And conversion means turning around. That's what it means. Conversus in Latin means to turn around. Why turn around, you might ask? Well, you turn around if you're facing in the wrong direction. And when you shuck it all down to the cob, as my dad likes to say, this is really all that sin is, facing in the wrong direction. In one of his writings, and I don't remember which, I've racked my brain and racked Google trying to figure it out, but nevertheless, in one of his writings, C.S. Lewis imagines that there could be a category of angelic beings whose only prerogative, whose only job it is to gaze on the glory of God. And C.S. Lewis asked rhetorically, what would it be for such a being to sin? Well, it would just be for that being to avert its gaze from the glory of God, even momentarily. So sin is facing in a direction that you're not supposed to be facing. And conversely, to convert or to repent is to turn, right, and face the right way. It's like that for all of us. And it shows, I think, just how common sin actually is and how often and how easily we can fall into it. So conversion in the parable of the prodigal son is the son firstly remembering his father's house. Sin is forgetting the Father's house, is another way to think about it, and how easily, how often we forget the Father's house. Indeed, probably every day, probably several times a day, if you're anything like me, we forget the house of our Father. We forget who we really are, where we've come from. We lose sight of the grace of our baptism. We forget that we are emissaries of the kingdom of God, that we're sons of God, that we've been redeemed, that we have a home, and it's not here in this region of dissimilitude, as the scholastic philosophers put it, amid all the busyness and the nonsense and the maelstrom and the humdrum stuff of everyday life. This is not our home. But we get too comfortable, nevertheless, nestling in all of our desires and aspirations and all of our neuroses and nonsense. We make a home here amid these husks that are for the feeding of swine. We forget the Father's house. Conversion is the central thing in this parable, just as it's the central thing in Christianity. Because conversion is not just something that we do once and then we're done, but rather our tradition speaks of ongoing conversion. We have to convert and convert again. We have to turn and turn again. In a sense, there's nothing else to Christianity. It's about repentance, and it's about faith in Jesus. That's it. In a certain sense, everything else is window dressing. And isn't that what Jesus said exactly when he began his ministry? Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, turn, convert. And that means remembering the Father's house. And notice what Luke says when the prodigal remembers his father's house. Luke says he came to himself, right? This shows something important to us. Living in alienation from the house of the Father, living in sin, means living in alienation from our own selves. My true identity is as a son of God, because my true identity is in God's only Son, Jesus Christ, to whom I have been conformed in my baptism and by faith in his name. So to make a home in this foreign land, in a pig pen, is to live as an alien to my own self, my own real identity. And we make so much these days about identity and authenticity and whatnot. That's at the center of what this parable has to say to us. Our authentic identity is in the Father's house. So of course there's anxiety and neurosis in this foreign land. Living here, we're out of sync with our own selves. But the flip side of the coin is that real joy, real peace, is to be found in the house of the Father, which should be a powerful inducement to get back there, to repent, to convert, to turn. I'm sure you noticed that President Biden dropped out of the race for president. Every time I start thinking that American public life has reached peak craziness, American public life says, hold my beer. 2 weeks ago, I went off script in my sermon to talk about President Trump's close call with assassination. I returned to one of my leitmotifs, that if you want to do something about the zany state of affairs in American public life that keeps getting zanier, then the gospel actually has a political program, and it consists in this: repent, return to the Father's house, abide there, believe the gospel, put your faith in Jesus Christ and not in princes, which means trust Jesus Christ and not them, but also it means take your cues from him, live like him, listen to his voice, obey his commandments. That's the political program of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom of God. And this is the antidote to the insanity that we can see all around us in our public affairs. What if there were a community of people who really took stock of themselves, who really asked themselves what Jesus was saying to them, and who really undertook to structure their lives in accord with his word? What if there were in our country a community of people who took the Beatitudes seriously, who embraced meekness, embraced a thirst for righteousness, embraced poverty of spirit, which means to forswear avarice and envy and greed, by the way? What if there were a community of people who really committed themselves to peace, to thirsting for it, to seeking it, to making it in their own lives and communities? You can imagine how that might make a difference. In the first lesson today, St. Paul commends just such a life to his audience. And he notices that the ends of the world had arrived for the believers in Corinth in the first century. The ends of the world are always arriving for Jesus' disciples. But Paul says that the pattern of life, this pattern of life, ongoing conversion and faith in Jesus Christ, constitutes, he says, a way of escape provided by God so that his people will be able to stand amidst all the nuttiness of their world. That's us too, is it not? Our world has plenty of nuttiness. So now you know what you have to do. You know the political program of the kingdom of God. Rise, return to the compassion of the Father. Eat the fatted calf and rejoice. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.